Let the church say amen. We will live again. We will live on if we obey God's will and continue to live in His Word and do His will. It is good to see all of you this morning. I'm going to say it straight out up front. We were not here on last week. And so I'm going to give you enough time to either rewrite your checks or dig a little deeper in your pockets. For you missed last Sunday's giving. And we need you to give this Sunday to make up for last Sunday. So rewrite your checks, get your pencil out. And you can do it while I'm doing this sermon this morning. So this morning, let us be ever grateful to God as we go to Him in prayer. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, we have been blessed once again to be able to come out to serve Thee in spirit and in truth. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for blessing us. And Father, we know that the weather all over the country, as a matter of fact, all over the world is different than it normally is. But it's Your weather, Lord, and You control it, and all we can do is just accept it. Give us the strength and the patience and the courage to know that we are blessed to be here. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all You do for us. We come asking You to bless the families of those who are sick and shut in. Bless the families of those who have lost loved ones. Bless the families of those who are suffering this morning. We ask You to bless this congregation and be with our local leaders and their families. Be with the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far as well and their families. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, and we pray that the things we do this morning may be found favorable and acceptable in Thy sight. We thank You, O Lord, because we didn't have to be here this morning, but You left us here. And Father, when we slept on last night, we didn't know whether we would get up or not. But we just thank You for raising us up this morning. Thank You for everything You do, for the morsel of food that You put before us, for the roof over our heads, the heat in our houses, as well as the heat here in the church house. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for everything, and it is in the name of Your Son, Jesus, the one who went to Calvary's cross, that we say thank You, and we ask it all in His name's sake. Amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 31 and verse number 32. The Bible says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Whenever and wherever people come together, problems will come up. Along with problems, there will be people who may say things that are hurtful and cause disagreements with others. The church is no different. Contentions, resentment, jealousy, and criticism are all present. The church should be above these kinds of things, but nevertheless, they happen in the church. It is never a good thing when anyone in the church harbor grudges or be spitefully grudging against one another. We must, as Christians, be a step above the fray. When we get to stoop down to pettiness, we are just like the rest of the world. We must learn to accept that we must be a little bit different than the world itself. So this morning, we want to talk about forgiving one to another. So that we must start out by asking the question, what is forgiveness? In the text today in verse number 32, the Bible says, once again it says, "And be ye kind to one another, kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." The text tells us that we must be kind to one another, that God in Christ has forgiven us. Forgiveness means that we should push away any bad feelings we have toward one another. Because one brother spoke out against another brother's idea doesn't mean that we are to hold it against him. Especially if you're going to hold it against him for the next 10 or 15 years. When Peter came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 18 around verse 21 and 22, he asked the question. He said, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother?" Jesus answered him in verse number 22 saying, "Not seven times, but 70 times seven." In this text, Peter knows that we must learn to forgive each other. He knows that holding on to a grudge is not the way Jesus taught them. So by the answer that Jesus had given unto Peter, it means that we must have unlimited forgiveness. Look for the good in a person before you try to find the bad. Find the good, and there's a good streak in all of us. And sometimes we don't understand that because I do something wrong doesn't mean that I'm a bad person. It just means that I made a mistake. And anybody can be forgiven for a mistake. And we've got to learn to forgive our mistake, forgive others their mistake as we have been forgiven for our mistakes. Look for that good in a person rather than that bad. And we must all begin to remember to pray for those people that we need to forgive. Because someone criticize what another one wears doesn't necessarily mean that they don't like the person. It may simply mean they just don't like what they wear. And then that's between those two people. We don't have to join forces with the person and say, "I don't like that person either because I really don't like what he or she wears." It is sometimes hard to get the church folk to see beyond their line of sight. But we have to see others in the light of love. According to Leviticus 19, love thy neighbor as thyself. And in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 44, it says, love thy neighbors as well as your enemies. In Matthew 19, it says, love thy neighbor. We've got to learn to love one another as God has loved us. We've got to learn to forgive one another. Now, I know many messages have been preached by many preachers, including myself, on this same topic. We have preached them over and over again, and we shall keep on preaching till forgiveness overflow in all the church folk. One thing that I have learned that since I've been going to church, I've been going to see Christians on a weekly basis, there's not enough forgiveness in the church. And I'm not talking about this church in particular, but I'm talking about in the churches in general. It's not that the Lord won't forgive us, but we as church members are slow to forgive each other. Many of us will forgive non-believers and people of the world long before we forgive our brothers and our sisters. I've also learned before we can love each other, we must learn to forgive each other. First of all, I ask the question, how can I say I will forgive and then say that I hate you rather than I love you? It's easier to say I love you rather than to say I hate you. Sometimes we have to decide what's more important in life, getting along or getting along without someone. And I know what we think from time to time, that if I just stay away from that person, I'll be all right. But we've got to learn to forgive. The Bible teaches forgiveness. The Bible teaches us that we must forgive one another. Look at the text again in verse number 32 once again. "And be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, specifically forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Now, isn't that something? We ask God to forgive us, but we don't want to forgive one another. We ask God, "Lord, forgive me for my trespasses. Forgive me for the mistakes that I've made." But when somebody comes to us, we sometimes don't want to forgive. But we've got to learn what forgiveness is, and we've got to learn how to forgive. We are to forgive one another according to that text in verse number 32 of that text. as God forgave us, as God has forgiven us. How were we forgiven? Through the cross of Christ upon which He gave His life for us. The God of heaven explained it to Israel in Jeremiah 31 and 34. In part, the verse says, "For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more." Jesus, through His cross, forgave us of our sins. He doesn't charge us for this favor. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. "For by grace we are saved through faith and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God." First of all, if we had to pay for it, many of us would be up the creek, would we not? Because we couldn't afford to pay for how good God has been to us, how He has forgiven us, how He has led us in down the path of righteousness. Grace is a wonderful thing, and to have grace is a good thing. But what I want us to understand that God, through Jesus, has given us grace when we were lost. He has presented us with love when we couldn't love ourselves. And how many folks today still don't love one another? How many folks today still refuse to accept the fact that I've got to love you in order to get into heaven? I've got to forgive you if I expect my Father to forgive me. So when I think about it, it should be easy enough for us all to forgive one another. But I'm always amazed when I hear Christians tell others of how they love and trust in the Lord. They tell of how faithful they are in coming to church each and every Sunday. Then in that same breath, they'll tell you how they can't stand a certain brother or a certain sister in the church. So I pose this question to you this morning. What if Jesus felt that way about us? What if Jesus said, "I don't like him or I don't like her. I will forgive them, but I don't like him or I don't love." But I tell you something. The Bible tells us that we must love one another. We must forgive one another. And we must learn to accept the fact that we've been forgiven. And you know something? I may as well say it. This church or no other congregation is going to grow until we learn to forgive and love one another. We are not going to grow, and I'll tell you why. Because when a visitor comes to us, if we don't show them love and kind tenderheartedness to them, then we are not going to bring them in the doors. We've got to learn to forgive one another. We've got to learn to accept one another. And no, I'm not like you and you're not like me. I understand that. But we still must love and forgive one another. He forgave us even when we didn't deserve it. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "While we were yet sinners, God showed His love toward us that Christ died for us." That's grace, church. That's mercy. That's forgiveness. And that's love. How many of us, when we think about it, how many of us would forgive one another to the point of death? I don't think many of us would. Why can't we love and forgive one another in that same manner? We need to be concerned that each and every one of us are going to be held accountable for our deeds in this life. Our deeds in this life, we must learn to be aware that when one refuses to forgive, they need to understand they would have to one day stand before that same Jesus who forgave us. And we will have to answer to Him. The Bible teaches us some things about forgiveness. Look at verse number 31 in the text. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Don't talk about that person that sits next to you each and every Sunday. Learn to love and accept that person. And even though that person may not have to offer what you think they should offer, they're still a child of God. Otherwise, you are not acting like a child of God yourself. We must learn to forgive one another. We must learn to accept one another's faults. Now, I'm not saying that you're supposed to be happy with my faults. I'm not saying that you're supposed to accept everything I do as the right thing to do. All I'm saying is that you need to forgive me if I've mistreated you, and I come to you and ask for forgiveness. So then we must learn why we need to forgive one another. Jesus spoke on forgiveness in Matthew 18, chapter 21 through verse 18, chapter 18, verse 21 through about verse 35. He told Peter how often he was to forgive. He ended his speaking in verse number 35 by letting us know that how God will see us if we don't forgive as He has forgiven us. If we don't forgive, God will not forgive us. It's put even plainer in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 15. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The Bible teaches us in Galatians chapter 6 and the verses number 10, we are to do good unto all men. Note this point though, church. Note this point. Unto all them, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. In other words, we are to treat everybody with kindness. We are to give ourselves to being kind to every man, but especially those in the household of faith. This means that we have to care for all men, but in particular to those who share the love and faith of God. It tells us how while we have the opportunity to do good, we must do it. We are to show charity to all men, to show this kindness to all who stand in the need of such. But we must learn to not be unkind to our brothers in Christ. You know, some of us will be so happy if somebody on the street walked up to us and asked for us for our forgiveness for something that perhaps they did to us 25 years ago. We're quicker to forgive them when they are not Christians than we are to forgive our brother who sits next to us or our sister who sits next to us in church each and every Sunday. We sit up with a smile on our face, but we don't mean it with our hearts. We sit there and we look pious and we try to be so righteous looking, but some of us are far from being righteous. And I'm not talking about anybody in here, so nobody approach me in the back and say, well, you talking about me? I'm not talking about you. But I tell you what, if that happens to be you, then I am talking to you. So watch how you treat people. Watch how you be kind to one another. Once again, I'll read it in verse 32. Be ye kind to one another, one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now you expect to be forgiven, you have been forgiven, and yet how many times do you go to God asking for forgiveness, but yet you won't accept my asking of you for forgiveness? As I said earlier, if we had to pay for the gift that God, Jesus, has given us, we couldn't afford it. We couldn't even afford to liberate ourselves from the sins that had threw us to the wayside. But Jesus stepped in. Jesus became sin in our place. So when I think about it, I said to myself, it's going to be a sad and a heartbreaking affair if after we've lived what we consider to be a full and a blessed life, yet when we stand before Jesus and He tells us, you can't come into heaven. You did many things right, but you refused to forgive your brother. You forgot to do what I told you to do. I can see somebody trying right now, trying to explain to the Lord, I still love them like you said. Jesus will say, I told you to forgive men of their trespasses, even as your Heavenly Father will forgive you. I tell you, some of us are going to be explaining it away. Lord, the reason that I didn't forgive them is because I knew they didn't mean it. Well, who are you to judge whether they mean it or not? If they ask you for forgiveness, you are supposed to forgive them. And then there will be some who will say, Lord, I tried my best, but I just couldn't forgive old John. He just wasn't right. That's not your calling. That's not your calling. If He asks you to forgive Him, you need to forgive Him. Look what the text says. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, Christian folk have a problem sometimes letting some of the gutter language go. They describe one another in terms that I can't repeat up here because this is just not appealing to a child of God to say some of the things we say about others. The church must try to teach its members to be forgiven toward one another. We've got to learn to do that. We must stop hurting each other through gossip, lying, and criticizing. In verse 32, the text once again tells us that God forgave us. We must learn to do the same. I know it's hard sometimes living the way the Bible tells us to live. But if you want to live like the Bible, if you want to get up the way the Bible describes us as getting up and going to heaven, if you want to meet God in peace, in other words, that's what I'm trying to tell you. You've got to learn to do what the Bible tells us to do. We have got to learn, including me and everyone in the auditorium this morning. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now, I try to picture not having forgiveness, and I can't, because I'm so glad that I've been forgiven. I'm so glad that you have been forgiven. I'm so glad that all of us have been forgiven. That's why we're here today. I'm glad this morning that God has left us in a forgiven state, but we've got to learn to be just like that. What if a person fails to forgive one another? All I can say is this. God is a just God, and He shall judge you as He has already told us, that every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow to Him. We shall give an account of ourselves to God. And that's in Romans chapter 14, around about verse number 11 and about verse number 12. We must learn to be forgiven folk. And then when we become forgiven folk, we can reach out to others. We can tell others, I go to a forgiving church. I serve a forgiving Lord. I serve with brothers and sisters who are willing to forgive each other for their shortcomings. We can tell each other, this is the way the Lord has prescribed that we be. This is the way the Lord wants us to be. But until we can get there, we're not going to grow the church. Well, preacher, you say we're not going to grow the church. Does that mean we stop trying to grow? No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that we stop trying to grow the church. I say that until we get there, we are all in growing stages anyhow. So God, the old saying that God is not through with me yet, He certainly is not. And I thank God for that. I thank God that when we are finally at the point where we have been made the way we think we ought to be made, have we left God out? We talked about learning to forgive one another, learning to be tender-hearted, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. We must learn that that's the right way to be. We must learn to accept the fact that God has forgiven us many times over. You know, I have to go to God on a frequent basis myself, and I know that you should be going to Him on a frequent basis yourself. I have to go to God in many cases and ask for forgiveness because sometimes it's simply a thought that I have. Sometimes it's a deed that I do and I'm not any more perfect than you are. And so I know you need to go to Him too, because if you don't live a righteous life, if you are trying to live a righteous life and you find out that it's difficult to live a righteous life, you have to go to God and ask Him to help you get to that point. When I think about how good God has been to us, I had to forgive some people in my life. I had to forgive some people in my life over here very recently. I had to bring up forgiveness to people. I had to let people know that I can forgive because I'm supposed to forgive. I can forgive because I need to forgive. And I can forgive because I have to forgive if I want to live by the Bible. All those who claim to know God and believe on Him, until we can forgive, we are not going to be forgiven of God. We are not going to be forgiven by God. Now, when I look at this matter and I bring it to, as I hasten on to bring this message to a close, when I look at what that text, how plainly written that text is, there's no room for doubt. Let's look at them once again. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then it says, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. It can't get any plainer than that. It tells you how to treat your brother. It tells you how to treat one another. It tells you what we need to do. It tells you what I need to do. It tells you what you are supposed to do. It tells you what God, the Bible, expects of us, all of us to do. Be kind to one another. What is being kind? Well, kind means to be really gentle with one another. Kind means that I can overlook some of your faults because I got enough of them of my own to keep in check. It tells me that kindness means that I'm supposed to accept your shortcomings, your weaknesses. I'm supposed to let God be ruling in me. I'm supposed to let God know that I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to project a Christian attitude toward you. I'm supposed to know that what God wants me to do, I'm supposed to let you see God in me. I'm supposed to be a shining light. I'm supposed to be that one that sits on a hill where you can see my light shining. Isn't that right, church? When I think about it, I have to ask myself some questions sometime. I have to ask myself, have you treated your brother right? Have you treated your sister right? Have you treated all men right? You know, and I'm one of those people, I'm a gentle kind of a person. I try to treat people right. But then sometimes there are those who say, well, I think he's a little weak because he won't stand up for things. Well, I'd rather stand down and be right with God than to stand up and be wrong with mankind. I tell you about when the world is at knocking at your door. You know, sometimes it takes a lot of strength and power to keep from opening the door and letting the world come into your house. You know, you have to sometimes say, Lord, I need some strength to make it through this lifetime. I need some strength to make it through this daytime. I need strength to get by, O Lord. And then when I ask myself this question, I say to myself, what would the Lord do? And then I ask myself, are you doing what He has prescribed for us to do as living Christians? You know, as long as you're living, you can get it right. But when you die, you won't be able to get it right. You see, there are no changes in death. The changes come while you yet live. The changes come while you can still have blood running and flowing in your veins. And I know that many of you have been to the point where you've been to the doctor and the doctor has told you about a loved one, I can't do any more for him or her. And you have to decide, sometimes they ask you to decide, do you want to disconnect this person from life support? And you would make a decision within your own mind what I should do and how I should proceed. It's just sort of that way when it comes to treating one another with kindness and tenderness and forgiving one another. You have to make a decision how I want to be with this person. How I want to be about this person. Yet, you know what the Bible says. And I know there are some who say, well, I couldn't recall the scripture at that time. So I didn't forgive him or I didn't forgive her. But let it happen on the job. And somebody on the job does something to you. You're apt to forgive them quicker than you'll forgive me. So I ask the question once again this morning. Are you treating your Christian brother and sister the way the Bible tells you to? Are you being kind to them? Are you being tenderhearted? Are you being forgiven to one another? And I'm not talking about where a wife forgives her husband. Husband does something wrong, he comes to his wife and he asks her for forgiveness. And sometimes we as men don't understand if she says, no, I'm not going to forgive you for this. But you know, with just a little time and a little patience and with your acting right, she eventually will come around. But then we must learn to be that same way, because that's the way Christ was with us. He has forgiven us for our trespasses. Now we've got to learn to forgive for trespasses made against us. So this morning the question becomes once again, are you forgiving one another? Are you forgiven toward one another? Are you forgiven with and to one another? And as I said in the beginning, you may hear this once again, or again, because we've got to learn forgiveness. And the church has to teach forgiveness one to another. See, once we get to the forgiveness part, then we can move to the love part. See, but there's no sense in me trying to teach you about love until you get the forgiveness part. Because if I can't love you until I forgive you, and if I say that I can love you before I forgive you, is that real love? I don't think so. So let us learn to be kind one to another. Let us be tenderhearted one to another. And where do I start, preacher? Well, it's very simple. You start by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But somewhere many of you have done this a long time ago. You have taken this step many years ago. But somewhere you've walked astray. And I can tell you, as a Christian, I don't mind telling you, I've walked astray before. And you have too. You may not want to admit it, but you have. Because in this life, it's difficult to walk the straight and narrow without going veering one way or the other. But I've walked the straight and narrow, and I've also fallen off the straight and narrow. But I went to God and asked Him to forgive me. And I think that I've been forgiven, and I try to be righteous as much as I can. So if you have fallen into that trap of falling off, or falling out of the race, you need to come back. How do I come back? By going to God firstly, and then by coming to the church secondly, asking the church to help you pray to be forgiven of your shortcomings. And then continuing in the vein of righteousness with the Lord. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.